grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Here again the portion that reads, "And to Adam the Lord God said, because you have listened to your wife and have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you will return." Then the man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all the living. You may be seated. Did you hear it? Did you hear what Adam did? The man called his wife's name Eve, and she became the mother of all the living. What a strange way to react to the cursing of the serpent and all the consequences to Eve and to Adam himself. God declares the consequences to be death, and yet this man acts this way? What in the world is going on here? What did the guy hear? By the word of God, the heavens and the earth were created. By the very word of God, Adam and Eve were warned so that they would be protected from the painful, hurtful, deadly way of life. But as you know, by the lack of trust in that word came the denial of those same words of God, and the consequences were shame, hiding, denial, blame, jealousy, pain, toil, and finally, death. It took a long time for Adam to die, and yet he did. What do you do when you are faced with the consequences of such a mess? When you can't fix what's broken? Oh, you tried, like sowing fig leaves, but it didn't fix it. What do you do when you're living in a broken world with broken human beings? Well, some people just think they can pick themselves up and just start right again. They start patching things up like Adam and Eve sowed fig leaves together, hiding what they did. Some hide by going ahead and leaving and starting a new life someplace else. Some people take a new job. Some people take a different way of life. In fact, that's what some people advise, right? Or are very demanding when they say, "I'm sorry, you can't work here anymore," or "I can't live with anymore, go find someplace else to live." But here in the text with Adam, we find there is a different way to live. Believers live trusting in the promises of God. They live by faith, and so we too are to live by faith. Today we look at Adam, and with him we hear the conclusion of the terrible curses of the fall. God tells Adam what he did. He hadn't trusted God's first word. And so he ate from the tree of life, our tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam hears that life is broken. It's going to be painful. It's going to be difficult to provide. And he is going to return to the dust. In other words, you're going to die. It looks hopeless. And yet, we find Adam responding so differently when he goes ahead and says to Eve that he's called his wife's name Eve because she'd be the mother of all the living. What in the world is going on here? Is Adam crazy? Because I wonder if we would respond the same way to the consequences that were laid out before Adam. And yet, even though Adam was faithless, God once again creates faith-filled ears in Adam. Oh, his ears hear the law, but he hears the gospel somehow predominate in these words. In hearing the severity of the law, with all its consequences, he hears God's word of promise. The work will be hard, yet there will be that he will be provided for and he will eat. Though childbearing will be more painful, they still will be children. Though the serpent deceived from the tree, he's cast down to crawl on the ground vulnerable. though there is conflict be with the woman and his offspring, through her offspring, though her offspring would be given a difficult wound, that serpent's head would be crushed. Childbearing will go on. There will be children, and there will be the most important child of all. On this side of Jesus' death, you and I can see how this is fulfilled in the offspring of Mary. Today, we hear how Jesus himself strips himself of the provision that Adam was promised, how he goes ahead and enters into the danger of the wilderness and is tempted by the ancient serpent, the devil, and he tempts him into making his own food, taking suicidal risks, and if he will just do one thing, being promised this worldly success. He tempts Jesus to provide for himself because he can. That is, without trusting God's word. He encourages Jesus to put his life in suicidal danger, even on the basis of Scripture. The devil holds out worldly success for Jesus, claiming that the devil himself has the power to give. The person of Jesus conquers the temptations for all humanity, and then he prepares to go on his way for the next 3 years to the cross. His life becomes hindered, even by his own people whom he's there to save. They reject him. They condemn him worthy of death, and his heel is crushed there on by the nails of the cross. I ask, what can a dead man do for you? People may only see a dead man hanging on the cross. But we hear from the words of Scripture that this man is not just man, but God himself. In Jesus, God has made the ultimate sacrifice of himself and the very crown of his creation, humanity. The serpent, the devil, Satan, humanity's tempter, is crushed when God the Father raises him from the dead, accepting his sacrifice. This is the gospel promise fulfilled. But what did Adam have? He only had words. After losing his place, and all the consequences that he and Eve and the serpent had brought on creation, Adam only had the word to believe. But that word is made more sure in the cross of Jesus. With the loss of paradise, Jesus Christ is the hope of humanity. You know, we go on to chapter 4, we would see how this worked out, because Eve already is looking forward to the promise when she says, "With the help of the Lord, I have gained a man." But that's another sermon. You see, for Adam, it is the gospel that predominates in his ears and creates faith in his heart. His heart is so filled with God's promise-filled gospel word that he calls his wife Eve to become the mother of all the living. Eve is the beginning of the church to raise godly children. Adam becomes the first pastor to teach the church's children. You see, parents, you are to emulate what the church is in your own home, teaching your very children that you conceived and have given birth. That is the trust that God has given to you. So as the children of God, our true spiritual mother is the church, who has given us birth through water and the Word. It is a life-giving water, rich in grace, and a washing of new birth in holy baptism. She hears the wounds that we have received from others and the wounds that we have caused others, and through her is pronounced those healing words of absolution, the forgiveness of sins. Her husband, is the one who listens to the word of his Father. Her husband hears and speaks the word from God the Father himself, as we have heard in John chapter 12. Jesus said, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who has sent me has himself given me a command, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. And what I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." And again in John chapter 5, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He has not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, I say to you, the hour has come and is now coming when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." And again in John 14, "And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father who has sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled." It is fear, right, that pervades humanity's life. Are we afraid of not being as successful as the world wants us to be? Do we feel the need to take life into our own hands, or to get someone, or even God, just to listen? Are we afraid how we'll provide for ourselves? Look to Jesus. Jesus is our hope among the consequences of our actions and among even our loss. Jesus is our confidence in the midst of destruction and even death. Jesus is our wholeness, even in our brokenness. Jesus restores order in the mess of life. Jesus is the one who gives us peace in the midst of all our fears. For Jesus is grace, mercy, and peace personified. Among all the consequences of the law, in Jesus, the gospel is predominant. The gospel is true and eternal hope. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes understanding keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
For information about our congregation, for service times and schedule, please visit our website at www.standrewlcms.org. Thank you for listening to Sermons Preached at St. Andrew Lutheran Church in West Fargo, North Dakota, a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.